Shut your face. Don't say anything. Let it build. Give it to me. Oh, this is glorious. We're almost there. Oh, hit it! Damn it, I was off. Wait, when do they hit it?
This goes on for a long time.
This goes on for a while.
Is the hard
damn it!
Music.
I want to hit the post.
When does it hit the? Yeah,
there it is.
Damn it!
There it is. Inject that into your veins.
Oh, yeah.
We are your home of the Texans, the only station in town to get you into the Texans preseason opener against the 49ers. Listen all this week at noon with In the Loop and 4 with Sean and Rich. And keep listening next week at 8, noon, and 3 for the cue to call, and you are going to the game. Matt Radio, John McClain in, brought to you by Horn Solutions. I'm going to tell you one thing I loved right off the bat, and I have to admit I am a sucker for things that are dramatic or melodramatic. I love the opening scene of Hard Knocks for the Cleveland Browns last night. And to set it up, I here's what I like. So they open up with some dude like rappelling down a wall, and he's, you know, buckled in and all, and he's got all that stuff in the harness, all that stuff going on. And basically, it is the guy who is one of the people who's charged. His task that morning or that day is removing the famous billboard in Cleveland. I know it didn't say it anymore in the recent LeBron iteration, but the we are all witnesses sign on that building
with
in Cleveland.
LeBron James, huh?
With LeBron James.
It's so depressing to live there.
I love the melodrama that the Browns are now trying to replace LeBron James.
No, the 16 Browns.
The reason that was a bad look for Cleveland is I never realized or thought of this before, is they're tearing the banner down. You can see, oh, that's covering up like windows. What is that, an abandoned building? It's just one of the many abandoned buildings in Cleveland that serves no purpose or use anymore, much like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
They're 0-16, and they open it up
with
a shot of LeBron leaving the city. What a loser city.
If there was one takeaway from this, it was God bless those fans at the Cavs practice who are, like, all worked up over Baker Mayfield. And it's genuine. They should be. Like, I'm excited to watch Baker Mayfield.
What else do you have?
But, John, this is a fan base that's seen how many quarterbacks over the past two decades roll through there?
79.
And they've worked their way up into a fervor over Baker Mayfield, as they should.
20-something. Just like we finally got, Houston fans finally got Deshaun Watson every year. They hope is this the guy. Now they're hoping it's Mayfield, even though Tyrod Taylor is supposed to be the starter at the beginning of the season.
I got to ask you, let me ask you this real quick, John. There are several parts of that where, look, football coaches are prone to BS. I think more than any other sport, for whatever reason, they like to pretend that they're like generals in World War II, and they come up with a lot of nonsense and try to motivate people. The one thing that really caught my ear was when Greg Williams, he of the New Orleans Saints infamy, when Greg Williams tells his team with a straight face that he turned down 7 other job offers to take the Browns job. Do you think those were all football jobs? Or was this like,
I can
see them like, oh yeah, or like contract an interrogator in Syria or something. Like, what the hell? Who the hell? What other 7 teams offered Greg Williams a job that he chose the Browns?
I've known Greg since 1990, and I have never known a coach who relied more, BS more, relied more on motivation, because he's always been defense or special teams, and so I could see that number just popping out of his mouth while he was trying to come up with a strategy for motivation.
The funniest part of something like that is like the vets in the room trying not to laugh if that happens. They didn't show any of them because maybe they didn't want that look for him.
There are
at least 3 guys in the back that when they heard him say he turned down 7 jobs.
They're thinking, you're a crazy MF.
I forgot he was even on the team. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh God, Greg Williams is going to be a part of this season of Hard Knocks.
And the other thing he did too was he kind of held it out there that maybe if they played well this year, he wouldn't be the a-hole that he was last year. Like, dude, what does performance have to do with you being an a-hole or not? You're going to be an a-hole no matter what.
Maybe
they can go 16-0. You're still going to be an a-hole.
You want to talk about unbearable. Greg Williams is an unbearable figure as an NFL coach.
Yeah.
That dude, that guy is a total blowhard. I hate him. And he played Jabril Peppers like at the moon, basically. He put him 30 yards off the line of scrimmage. But that's neither here nor there. So a lot of people are talking this morning about Jarvis Landry, who gave a speech to his new team.
This was the wide receivers meeting room. He's talking to the wide receivers specifically.
We got to give a shout out to Chris Jones for the editing that he did here. You'll hear why in just a moment.
33 beeps.
I don't know what the f*** been going on here. And I don't know why it's been going on here, but this, if you're not hurt, like if your hamstring ain't falling off the bone, your leg ain't broke, I don't know, like you should be practicing, like straight up, like that is weakness, and that is contagious as fuck, and that ain't gonna be in this room, bruh. That's been here in the past, and that's why the past has been like it is, bruh. That's over with here, bruh. If you can practice, practice. You can't get no better. Ain't nobody gonna get better by being on the sideline if you ain't hurt. If you not hurt, you gotta practice. Because you make other motherfuckers work even harder. Now they have more risk of getting hurt because you don't want to practice. Because you being a bitch. Straight up, man, that's real, bruh. That ain't happening here. I'm just letting y'all niggas know that not fucking happening here. I'm hurting, I'm tired just like everybody in this motherfucker. But I ain't taking no motherfucking days off because I can't be hurt that way. That gotta be the attitude and the mentality all the time. All that we don't live here no more. That don't exist. It's contagious, bruh. Like, it's really contagious. It's contagious.
I want a montage with the contagious and unbearable. This is where, look, I've been in meeting rooms where guys had eruptions like that, and I was all on board with that speech, especially the part where he said guys are staying out of practice with minor stuff or non-existent stuff. That does, when you're like when you're out there and you're practicing through an injury and you got some schmuck on the sideline that's making you get extra reps, it makes you really angry. The problem is that later in the episode, you find out that, oh, Hugh Jackson and the training staff is being hyper-vigilant this year on holding guys out based on their past injury history. So those guys that are standing on the sideline were told not to practice. Like, they're not going and being malingerers or whatever. So it just looked to me like a way more Browns continued dysfunction, because Landry should have been bitching out Hugh Jackson and having that conversation in prison. Instead, he's calling guys on his own position group bitches. Those guys, by the way, didn't say anything because Jarvis Landry is the guy with the big paycheck in the room.
Is it possible that he was perhaps calling out Josh Gordon subtly?
Josh Gordon wasn't there.
That's what I mean.
No, he wasn't calling out Josh Gordon. He was talking about guys that were there and available that weren't actually on the field.
Do players owe it to their coaches and trainers to tell them the truth? Because a lot of guys, I've seen guys are, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm good. And they go out there and they practice hurt with the possibility of making it worse. Or do you owe that to tell them exactly what you feel?
I think you have to, you want to be honest with them, but a lot of guys are more willing and able to, and this is the key distinction, guys are able to practice through injury. And I don't know how much of the advanced, like the catapult technology, the body monitoring technology the Browns are using, because sometimes it's just based on that. Like, look, this guy's heart rate isn't responding as well, then he's probably overtrained. Even that, I sometimes worry about coaches using that too much, because that level of scientific precision in the hands of a Neanderthal doesn't necessarily do a whole lot. And a lot of times, the guys that don't take care of themselves, like the guys that aren't getting enough sleep, the guys that are drinking too much, the guys that aren't trying as hard, then their biometric data is going to look like, oh, wow, he's overtrained. Meanwhile, the other guys that are like doing all the right things kind of suffer for it and end up having to get more reps.
Yeah. Another name that you, or another kind of player that you missed, the wide receivers that get picked up for a marijuana possession that may or may not be in trouble right now. Antonio Callaway.
This was the weirdest. Hugh Jackson informing various people around the team that, hey, by the way, and let's remember we're on camera here. He didn't say that. So Josh isn't going to be here at the beginning of camp. And,
yes.
We'll pass this off like it's a normal routine thing in the media, but he's not going to be here, and this is all new news to you guys right now. He's got to take care of his health.
You know who was, I thought, clearly pissed at the table when Hugh Jackson was delivering that news? I think Todd Haley's sitting there basically being like, are you crazy? Are you kidding me? I'm trying to build an offense. Todd Haley did not look happy
Am I wrong, or was Hugh Jackson delivering that news to John Dorsey as well? In the first time, he had to deliver the news to several different people.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
But he definitely was delivering it to the assistant coaches.
So then you see a lot of shots of Callaway, too, the young receiver who just got pinched for yet another marijuana suspension, who's had all kinds of, like, the Browns, under John Dorsey, the GM, have basically become the Bengals, where they're saying, like, hey, We welcome everybody. We don't care what kind of issues you've had. Hey, Callaway, you're a great bargain in the third round. Like, no, he's in the third round because it's not just the marijuana. It's the bank fraud. It's like all these other things. This guy's a bad dude. Like, he's a bad character. And lo and behold, he's suspended now after you traded away Corey Coleman. And that Browns wide receiver room, who they'd been trying to herald themselves as like the most talented group. The guys who called themselves the most talented group in the league, they're almost all completely out of there other than Jarvis Landry.
I think that the general manager gets the information before anybody. So I think he was telling the other coaches.
Okay. Except in these situations where it might be Josh Gordon texting Hugh Jackson and being like, hey, coach, I'm not showing up.
Yeah, I think it'd probably be the agent letting the GM know.
Speaking of Hugh, they did a pretty good job of humanizing him, even though he's an 0-16 coach. That scene where he's like, well, his brother died unexpectedly and his mother died. And here he is at work just saying, yeah, so my mom died.
Yeah, they're watching film. Okay, there's a really weird scene where they're watching film with the offensive coaches.
He just mentions
Hugh Jackson's at his desk. The other coaches are sitting in front of him. They're like in the middle of a play, and he's like, yeah, so my mom died last night, so here's the next play. And everybody kind of like, the offensive coaches don't know how to react. I'm not criticizing Hugh Jackson for it. Like, he's obviously working through all this stuff happened, his brother and his mom, right before and during
That's
training camp.
Awful.
And he's trying to work his way through it. It's gut-wrenching to watch.
I felt so bad for him.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's there at work trying to get through it. I don't know how
he
you
is
deal
a
with
really
it.
Nice guy.
Oh, we really like you. He's a nice guy.
Which might be the problem on this team specifically,
yes.
especially.
Yes.